Every community, every nation, perhaps every generation has its heroes. People that they look back to, people that they look up to, people that for whatever reason have become heroes. Maybe they are great leaders. Great leaders who took the nation through a difficult time. And we look back with great fondness, with admiration, on how they led. Perhaps they're war heroes. Perhaps they're sports personalities who have just done so well that they become heroes. And we put up statues. We put up plaques to remember them. We do such a lot to remember these people because they've had a big impact on our lives. And we remember our heroes. And it's not just on a sort of national scale or a community scale. Very often we have our own personal heroes. People that just impacted your life. Maybe it's people you know. Maybe it's a parent, a grandparent, who has just had such an impact on your life that they've become your hero. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was that teacher in school who took time with you and become a hero for you. That person that you admire, that person that you would love to be like. It's great to have these examples in our lives. It's great to have heroes because it does lift our eyes. It gives us something to aim for. God's people have always had heroes of the faith. We're looking at this letter to the Hebrews. Later on in the letter, we'll come across a chapter which is basically the hall of fame or the hall of faith. These are the heroes of the faith. God's people have always had these heroes. And one of those was Moses. This was Moses who was sent by God to lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt and to take them into the freedom and wonder of the promised land. Sent by God to lead them out of that bondage, to set them free into all that God had for them. This was Moses. And it's only natural that people looked up to Moses for their inspiration, for their encouragement. Of course they did. He'd done an amazing thing. He had brought those people out of that slavery. He had led them through all those wandering years. He had brought them to the land of promise. Of course, they looked up to him. This letter to the Hebrews, if you remember, was written to people who had come from a Jewish background and become Christians, become followers of Jesus Christ. But now they were under intense pressure. They were facing lots of pressures. They were under persecution. And the temptation was just to give up and to go back to what they had been. Maybe others were pointing them to Moses, reminding them of how it was Moses who had led them out of Egypt, how it was Moses that had given them the law, how it was Moses who had led them to that promised land through the wilderness years. Here's your hero. Here's Moses. Pay attention to him. And it must have been so tempting. You can almost imagine people getting together and remembering the good old days. Remember when Moses was here. Remember the things Moses did. Remember how faithful Moses was. And the temptation was to try and wind the clock back to those good old days. It's interesting. The writer of this letter doesn't set out to rubbish Moses. He actually does the opposite. He says Moses was faithful. Moses was God's servant. Moses was sent by God. Moses did what he was asked to do. Moses was faithful. But Jesus is better. Moses was faithful, but Jesus is greater. Moses was that servant who was obedient to his heavenly Father, but Jesus is greater. This is the Jesus whom we're called to worship. This is the Jesus who was also sent by his heavenly Father. This is the Jesus who will lead God's people once more out of bondage, but not out of bondage to Pharaoh. Last week we read these words from chapter 2. By his death, by Jesus' death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Moses, sent by God, sets God's people free. Jesus, sent by God, is greater, is better, sets God free, sets God's people free from their slavery to the devil. The freedom that Moses led people into was a temporary freedom. He led them through those wilderness years. He led them to that promised land. But after a while, it was different. The freedom that Jesus leads us to is eternal and unchanging and unfailing. When Jesus sets us free from slavery to sin and to death and to hell, he sets us free completely. There is no small print. There is no date when that will be over. He sets us free. He dies on the cross. He rises again. He ascends to his heavenly Father. He sets us free for eternity. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. And that's what these folks needed to hear. They needed to hear that no matter how good, how faithful, how obedient Moses had been, Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Verse 3 that Patty read for us simply says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Moses, if you like, was part of the house. Moses was part of the household of God, but Jesus is the builder. Yes, Moses is very much part of it, but Jesus is the builder. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Moses is a faithful servant. Jesus is faithful as a son over this household. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. So yes, have Moses as your hero. Learn from Moses. Learn from his example. But Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And that's why at the very beginning of this chapter 3, we're simply told, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Yes, learn from our heroes of the faith. But don't fix your thoughts on them. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. This one who has died for you. This one who has risen for you. This one who has ascended on high for you. Fix your thoughts on him. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. In that lovely first chapter of John's Gospel, which sadly we tend just to keep for Christmas time, but in that lovely first chapter, the prologue, the opening of John's Gospel, we simply read, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. The law was given through Moses. If you like, here's your diagnosis. It's a bit like an x-ray. An x-ray will show a broken bone in your arm or your leg doesn't fix it. Just tells you it's there. Then you need something else to fix it. Moses gives the law, which gives the diagnosis. We have all fallen far short of the standards which God has for us. We have fallen far short of those standards of holiness. And that's what the law does. But it doesn't fix us. We're fixed through believing in Jesus Christ. We're fixed through trusting in what he has done for us on the cross. We're fixed by knowing that we have a risen and living Savior who now sits at the Father's right hand praying for us. The law came through Moses, the diagnosis. Grace and truth, the answer, came through Jesus. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Now, you and I are probably not tempted to idolize Moses. I don't think of any of your homes where you've got a statue of Moses or a picture of Moses on the wall. My family still tease me about the fact when we took our girls back to Kenya to visit where we, Heather and I, had lived. We went to visit a lady that we'd known very well, and she had on her wall a picture of our late queen, and beside her was me. I think it was probably done to keep mice out or something, I don't know. So, yeah, thankfully, not idolized. We're not tempted to idolize Moses, but we are tempted to idolize other things, other people, other times. And maybe we sit around and remember the good old times. Remember when such and such used to happen. Remember the way things used to be done. Remember those good times. And we tend to idolize those things. And the message from this passage is, no, those things were good. Those things were right in their times. And we can learn from those just as we can learn from Moses and all the other heroes of our faith. But we don't fix our thoughts on them. We fix our thoughts upon Jesus. We fix our thoughts upon our risen and living Savior. And so we dispense with, if only we could be more like. If only we had, or if only we went back to, we get rid of all that stuff. And we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our thoughts on Jesus. Our calling is to encourage each other, to learn from each other, to support each other. But in all of this, to fix our thoughts on Jesus. No one else died for you. No one else rose again for you. No one else is sitting at the Father's right hand praying for you right now. Only Jesus. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. We fix our thoughts on Jesus. I'd like to pray with you and use the words of one of our beautiful hymns as I pray for myself and for you. Let's pray together. May the mind of Christ the Savior live in you from day to day. May the Word of God dwell richly in your heart from hour to hour. May the peace of God your Father rule your life in everything. May the love of Jesus fill you as the waters fill the sea. And may you run the race before you, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as you onward go. Amen.